Welcome to this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast. I'm Miranda Schmalfus, an editor with Pharmaceutical Executive Magazine. On this week's episode, I speak with Brian Hilberding, Executive Vice President of Leo Pharma and President of Leo Pharma's U.S. affiliate. Brian and I discuss their approach to orphan drug development, challenges and opportunities that they've had adapting to the U.S. market, some patient-centric initiatives that they've implemented to ensure that the patient voice is integrated into drug development and their commercialization processes, and much more. So without further ado, here's Brian. Okay, Brian, so given the increasing focus of large pharma companies on specific therapeutic areas, how is Leo Pharma positioning itself to capitalize on the unmet needs in other areas? And what strategies are you employing to ensure long-term success in those spaces?
So large pharma companies typically focus on large brands. Typically, they're in the game of trying to find blockbusters, defined by more than $1 billion in annual sales. And what we're doing is really focusing in on one specific disease state, truly becoming an expert in that disease state, being medical dermatology, and trying to find some of the white spaces in medical dermatology. So instead of competing in, say, developing the 15th systemic treatment for psoriasis and focusing in on, say 5% of patients that live with moderate to severe versions of that disease, which is kind of the big pharma playbook, we're really trying to kind of find where are those spaces in the market where there's really hard to treat dermatological diseases, where are there completely underserved diseases, where are there some rare diseases. And we're referring to this approach as putting pearls on a string. So instead of making a big binary bet and trying to find that next biologic that could potentially be worth billions, as nice and as appealing as that is, let's really kind of focus in on, again, there's all kinds of just rare and debilitating diseases in medical dermatology. And how can we kind of find that sweet spot in the market where these are sometimes brands that aren't going to be of interest to big pharma because they're quite frankly just too small. But if we're able to put several of them together and create some economies of scale and truly show up as a leading medical derm company, we believe that the sum of those parts will be as good or even greater than us making the big bet going after, that next biologic or that next big blockbuster treatment.
Can you elaborate on specific patient-centric initiatives that Leo has implemented to ensure that the patient voice is integrated into the drug development and commercialization processes? I can imagine that in these areas that that's very important.
It is so important in medical dermatology to really understand the needs of the patient. And a really good example of that is a drug that we're hoping to bring to the marketplace for a disease called chronic hand eczema. Now, chronic hand eczema, especially here in the United States, is not actually a disease state that is that well understood. Eczema is kind of a catch-all term for a lot of different inflammatory skin conditions. But when you talk to someone living with CHE, chronic hand eczema, I mean, effectively, their hands become so cracked and scaled that it's really hard for them just to function. And beyond the function of being able to use your hands, which obviously, if you're a surgeon, if you're a kitchen worker, even if you're driving a vehicle, I mean, you need your hands for literally doing everything. What we came to learn is that there's a huge psychological component. I mean, imagine, meeting someone for the first time and shaking their hand, and you can just see that person kind of shiver a little bit when they feel that scaly hand. Think about, again, how we just use our hands as just, kind of a way of touching, a child, or a way of showing affection, or a way of comforting someone. So understanding the psychological issues that go along with CHE, in addition to understanding, of course, the actual symptoms of the disease state, led us to say, let's take a product and develop it specifically for that condition. So with this product that we're developing, we can pursue, and we will pursue, multiple indications, but we really prioritized, let's focus first on a real big unmet need and specifically formulate it in a way that can be used with the hands. Because again, if you're talking about a topical product and it's going to be used on the hands and it's really greasy, it's going to be really limiting. So you need to make sure that it's something that is going to be something that the patient uses, in addition to, of course, being efficacious and, with it goes without saying, being safe. And that's the other area that instead of using, you know, some of the systemic treatments that aren't specifically indicated for this disease state, which does open up potential safety concerns, you know, we're really able to take a targeted approach, give the patient and the provider peace of mind, and ideally just really give them their life back by giving them use of their hands again. I think that's a good example of really kind of putting the patient at the center and developing a treatment for them.
Absolutely. And I think that the patient voice can be used a lot more and incorporated more just like across the board in the industry, just hearing what they need. And like you said, the psychological point is so important. And I feel like that sometimes does get lost because sometimes it's just about even like patients even asking for help. And then like to be frustrated for having to go through, oh, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? And like, there's not even something out there that's made specifically for what I'm going through. And to fill that need, that's got to feel great too.
Absolutely. And it's something else that we're doing from a rare disease standpoint. Again, looking at diseases, looking at areas in the marketplace where currently there isn't a treatment. You know, it's kind of a bit of a, you know, renewed area of Leo Pharma to look into what are some of the rare, what are some of the orphan conditions and disease states. And when you meet people living with these rare and debilitating diseases where there is no treatment, there's often that concept of, does anyone care? Does anyone know that we're even out there? So to be able to, you know, bring a solution, regardless of, in a way, again, what that's going to add up to in totality, obviously we need to do it in a way that is sustainable and is ideally profitable. But again, if we can just find these kind of incremental gains for these patients that currently don't have a treatment, and we can keep putting these different innovations together, again, I believe that the sum is going to be greater than all of the parts, and it's something that will be greatly appreciated by the medical dermatology community.
Well, you mentioned orphan drugs, and that's actually where I wanted to go next. Leo Pharma has a strong focus on orphan drug development. So what sets your approach apart from other companies in this space? And how do you balance the need for profitability with the mission of providing treatments for rare diseases? Because that, you know, the rare diseases, the thing about those therapies is that they're very expensive to produce, and then the price tag is very great.
Yeah, I mean, in our case, it's actually a renewed focus. It's again, something that Leo attempted historically, and now we're kind of going back and looking at orphan drugs. And specifically now, we've just recently completed the acquisition of a company called Timber Pharmaceuticals, which is developing a treatment for a really rare and debilitating disease state called congenital ichthyosis. And the two subtypes of ichthyosis that we treat, effectively, you have patients that have large surfaces of their body covered with what appear to be like fish scales. So imagine, again, having a child born with effectively fish scales and the amount of time that they spend descaling themselves, the amount of time they spend trying to find, you know, different kind of ways of finding comfort when there is no treatment for this disease. Now, it is very rare. I mean, I'll talk to a lot of dermatologists who will say, I've seen one patient with this condition in my entire career, or there's someone who I maybe saw during medical school. It's not something that, you know, is very prevalent, which comes back to your question, you know, does this make sense from a sustainability standpoint? Is it profitable for us to move into this disease state? I think in this particular instance, this is a great example of how Leo Pharma is going to be the best owner for this type of asset, because it's taking an old treatment that is very well known in Accutane or isotretinoin, reformulating it as a topical in a way that has very low systemic absorption and therefore can be used on large body surfaces. Now, to a, you know, is that as interesting and innovative as a gene therapy or, you know, some of the other areas that other companies are going into in rare disease? I can tell you, for someone living with congenital ichthyosis, it is a massive innovation. And for the provider that is treating them, again, it's providing them with a solution when previously they didn't have a solution. I think the other thing that's really important when you get into rare disease is to understand that while rare diseases typically get treated at a few academic centers across the nation, patients living with these diseases don't necessarily live within the footprint of an academic center. So having a company that does have a field force that is calling on dermatologists across the country, making sure that those dermatologists are aware that now there's a treatment for this condition, helping them to understand what to do if they see a patient that presents themselves with these treatments, whether it's a referral to that academic center, or maybe in this case, an opportunity for them to treat themselves, is why I think that, again, this is a really good area for us to get into. It's finding that kind of white space in the market. And then quite frankly, what I feel great about is that there are patients that wouldn't otherwise have a treatment if it wasn't for Leo Pharma acquiring this company, continuing the clinical development program while that company was kind of struggling to fundraise. And, you know, knock on wood that the data comes strong and we're able to file and get this innovation to the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that because it's not that prevalent and they're in like a niche space or having this rare disease doesn't mean that they don't count. And going back and finding out how existing therapies can apply in other ways, that's such great work to be doing. So as Leo Pharma expands its presence in the U.S., what are the key challenges and opportunities that you foresee, and how are you adapting your business model to succeed in the competitive U.S. market?
So right now we're in the marketplace with a biologic in atopic dermatitis, and we're competing up against behemoths. I mean, we're competing up against Sanofi, Regeneron, Eli Lilly, AbbVie, Pfizer, as they have other treatments for atopic dermatitis. And I think the one mistake that we can make is that we can't just be big pharma light, because clearly we don't have the same size and scale as big pharma companies. So that's where we have to take what our biggest disadvantage is and turn it into an advantage. And that means that instead of having size and scale, what we can have is agility. What that means is that we can partner different with the medical dermatology community than maybe how big pharma can. I'm very proud of the fact that we're very responsive when we meet with healthcare professionals and maybe they have an idea in terms of how education can be delivered differently, or there's a unique initiative on how they want to partner with us in developing, whether it's a case series of, you know, being able to document a patient's journey in a disease like atopic dermatitis. We're able to respond swiftly and quickly and not necessarily go through all the layers of bureaucracy that you often have when you're at big pharma. And I guess that's where I really want to differentiate Leo Pharma is by, you know, big pharma aren't dermatology companies. They're big pharma companies that are in multiple therapy areas. And they might have a strong presence in dermatology and a dermatology division, but they're in multiple TAs. We are going to be a dedicated medical dermatology company. And I really want the derm community to say, if you describe the leading med derm company, we're not going to get there. Hopefully at some point, we're not going to be there in terms of who sells the most, but I want to be there in terms of who is the company that is prioritizing those hard to treat patients? Who's the company that is truly kind of getting what a dermatologist goes through? Who's the company that understands that it isn't, you know, many times it's other people within the office, the advanced practice practitioners that are, you know, the frontline treaters. And how do we make sure that we put them at the center and put their patients at the center and truly partner with them and not just have a transactional relationship?
It sounds like just because they have presence, they might have presence, but you guys, you have the passion.
We have the passion, we have the know-how, we have the focus. I mean, we truly want to be, again, that leading medical derm company. And that also means that we need to, you know, prioritize what's right for the provider and the patient. That doesn't always lead them to prescribing our products. We truly want to be helping them in terms of advancing education, taking that patient-centric approach. And I truly believe that if we continue this approach, the business will follow. And that's the playbook that we're going to keep rolling out. And I'm confident that we're going to get there.
Awesome. Brian, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I've gotten a lot out of our conversation.
Thanks. I enjoyed it as well.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the PharmExec podcast, where we take you behind the headlines to provide expert tips from industry leaders. Remember, you can always find us on the web at PharmExec.com, on Twitter at PharmExec, and on Instagram at PharmExecutive. The views on this podcast do not reflect those of MJH PharmExec's parent company or our advertisers. For editorial questions or to get in touch with our editors, please email us at PharmExec@MJHLifeSciences.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please go to PharmExec.com/advertise. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.